1 Samuel, if you would turn 1 Samuel chapter 30 with me this afternoon, 1 Samuel chapter 30, this is a passage, one of my favorites, and I don't know, just everyone just has one of their own that's their favorite, but you know, and over in Rapid lately, just to help with income, it's a struggling small church, so I had to have supplemental income. So I'd been door dashing lately, which has provided many adventures. One time in particular I'm thinking of is there's a lot of new building going on over in Rapid City with all the people moving in. And so the GPS is, you have to follow it, but sometimes it leads you into very interesting areas. But so I was following, and we're going to this one house, and I turn on this nice brand new shiny road, and all of a sudden there's a dead end. Because the middle, so there was a street on the other side, but the middle wasn't finished. So I had to go all the way around, come back, sneak my way around, and finally found the house because the road wasn't finished in the middle. And it was dark, it was in the middle of the night. It's like, this is exciting, but I had to go a long way around. You know, sometimes in door dashing, you hit unexpected dead ends. But also, sometimes life brings dead ends. You hit dead ends in life. You know, we're going in the direction God's pointed us. We're not, you know, this is, I'm talking about we're not going in a wrong direction. We're following the Lord. We're you know, like you're talking about this morning, you know, we're in fellowship with God. This is not something that, you know, we're going all astray. We're walking in the Spirit, and then suddenly we find ourselves at a dead end that comes with bewilderment, pain, uncertainty, and sometimes even fear. How did this happen? What's going on? We hit these. 1 Samuel 30, verses 1 through 8, David finds himself in one of these places. 1 Samuel 30 says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein, and slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lift up their voice and wept, till they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David here, he experienced one such dead end in this account of the ransacking of his town of Ziklag. And how he got there and what he did with it, that's a lesson for us this afternoon. Let's go ahead and open in prayer, and then we'll continue here. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this time in your word. We just thank you for this church, this place, and Lord, how you work in our lives. And Lord, I just pray that you would just open my mouth and just give me a clear mind and just say your words to this afternoon. And Lord, that just be a blessing and a help to each and every one here in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, I want to just kind of step through the story of David and just look at those. I call this as at the dead end. At the dead end. So I want to look at how to get to a dead end. Verses 1 through 3, again, it says, And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. So what did David do to get to this kind of place in his life? What would he have done so that he could get here? Well, David and his men were on a road in life that it was really not in their travel plans. David had started out watching his father's sheep and probably was really enjoying that life. Then he was chosen to be king of Israel after Saul. But Saul became very jealous of David and tried to kill him several times. And so eventually David had to flee for his life. And he was forced to run from place to place to avoid Saul. And meanwhile, while he's running, while he's doing that, those that were also in trouble, people that had debts, in trouble with the law, discontented, they just started joining David. And eventually he had a very large following, 600 men with him. And so he and his men eventually, they end up hiding with the Philistines, who were Israel's enemies, and they're assigned to live in the town of Ziklag. Philistines were about to go to war with Israel, and David and his men were going to go with the Philistines, apparently, and they said, no, you're not, because you're not going to turn against us in the middle of battle. So the king of Philistines sent them back. So when they're returning from that, they found that their city was ransacked, burned, and all their goods and their families were carried off. So back to my question, what did David do to get to this dead end in his life? Absolutely nothing. David did nothing to get to that place in his life. And that's what I look at is here, what do we do to get to a dead end? I mean, do we just mess things up so bad that we finally hit a roadblock in life? Or is God punishing us for some reason? We come to dead ends by simply living life. We just simply live life. Now, these are not things related to chastisement. I just want to make a very clear distinction here. This is not God's punishment I'm talking about. Like I said when I opened up, we're walking in the Spirit, fellowship with God. These are things that, we are in the middle of serving God, and there's a dead end. You can't go past that point. You cannot go anywhere. This is not chastisement. These are things we did not expect as we are serving God. Now, God leads us to dead ends so that he can clearly work in our lives. This is why God leads us there. So what do we do? How to get to a dead end? You don't have to do anything. Next thing I want to look at is at the dead end. Verses 4 through 6 here in 1 Samuel 30. Then David and the people that were with him lift up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. I'm going to stop right there for a second. What did David find at the dead end? Here's what David found at the dead end. So when he and his men discovered that their families were taken, that their homes were destroyed, that their livelihoods were all gone, and that there was nothing they could do about it, that was their dead end. This was the point where they could do nothing about this. The deed was done. Their families were gone. They had nothing left, and what was left was burned. Like, you can't even recover this. This is a dead end. All they could do is weep until they could weep no more. Now, David, he has all this grief, plus his men are threatening to kill him because they don't know what else to do. Whose fault is this? Obviously, David brought us here, so let's kill him. I mean, when that kind of grief, this is the level of grief that they're at. They don't even know what else to do. They found themselves at utter despair and utter helplessness. And David, he did not sign up for this. Why would God allow this to happen? And here's what we find at our dead end. we find ourselves in a place where we are overwhelmed, we're scared, we're stressed beyond what we can bear, and it only seems to get worse. Have you ever had that time in your life, like, can things possibly get any worse? And they keep getting worse. It's not that you say it, it's that it does. This is not a place that we ever wanted to be. Actually, this is the things that we're trying to not have happen. This is what we're trying to avoid. This is the place. This is what I'm talking about. This is the dead end. The place where there is no hope, no more options, and no possibilities for the future. This is the place where we ask God, why? God, why? How could God allow me to get into such a horrible place in my life? How can God do that? God, in his great love and mercy, he leads us to dead ends in our life. How can being in that place be God's love and mercy? How could God do, what does that mean? God desires to get us to the point where there is absolutely nothing left of ourselves, so that his work is the only thing seen in us. There is absolutely no other way it can come about. He also wants to build our faith and purge unbelief out of our lives. And it's sometimes, the best way to accomplish that is to lead us to the place where we come to the end of ourselves. That's the dead end. That is the only place God can work. That's what we find at the dead end. It's not a fun place. It's not the place we want to be. It's a place we're trying to avoid. We don't like pain. We don't like fear. That's what's at the dead end. But what do we do? What to do at the dead end? Verse 6 through 8. The end of verse 6 there, it says, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." So with nothing else to do, and nowhere else to go, David turns to the Lord. He could have blamed the Lord for allowing this to happen, or even gotten angry. That's very easy to do. But instead, he chose to put his faith in God. David chose to encourage himself in the Lord, and he had to choose it. It didn't just happen by itself. You know, the Bible doesn't say how he encouraged himself in the Lord. It just says he did. But here's what I imagine he did, that he looked back on how God had delivered him from every distress up to that point. And if you read David's life, there was quite a few of them. And God had delivered him out of so many different things. But being at that dead end, he absolutely had nowhere else to turn than to the Lord. And I love this. At a gross disadvantage, and being weak emotional, you know, being weak and emotionally devastated, David asked the Lord if they should pursue these marauders. There's no chance of this. And God directs him to do so, and they go. So we've seen, God sometimes leads us to a dead end where all options are exhausted. And it is very easy to be discouraged and overwhelmed. And when we get to that point, when we get to that dead end, what do? We have two choices. First, we could become embittered at the Lord. We can accuse God of leaving us at that spot. That we could be angry at that situation. Or we could even be in denial. I've seen people, they will just deny that there's anything going on and just live in ignorance. The problem is these are holding on still and refusing to submit to God's work in our life. Again, what do we do to get there? Nothing. God leads us there because he loves us so much, he wants to work in our life. But when we hold on, we become angry. That's refusing to submit to God's work. Or the other thing we can do is we can encourage ourselves in the Lord to look back on what God has done. Because it is easier to look back on what God has gotten you through than to try to make sense of the future. And what God has already done and how he has worked in your life up to that point, you can look back on those things and say, what has God already done? What has he gotten me through? What things has he pulled me through that I didn't think I would make it through? And those things are what help take our focus off the present pain. Now, it doesn't make it go away, but we get our focus off of it and back onto the Lord. That's where the focus needs to be. It still hurts, but at this point, it's fully placed your situation in the future in the Lord's hands and really leave it to his disposal. Just say, God, there is nothing else I can do. Do something with it. And this is where faith must be exercised, because it makes absolutely no human sense. There is no logical thing. There is no way. There is no option. There is no future thing that is going to happen. Nothing makes sense. Absolutely, you have to exercise faith. That's why God does that. It is faith. He's trying to get us to a place where faith has to be exercised. What to do at the dead end? There's two choices. But the last thing I want to look at here, this is my absolute favorite. This is why I was sharing with you about India, how God opened this opportunity for me. My last point here is the unseen door. The unseen door. We didn't read these verses yet, but I want verses 9 through 15. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. They gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, upon the coast that belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me in the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. So David and his men, they pursue the enemy in spite of their terrible state. They still have the hurt of losing their families. That is aching in their hearts. 200 of the 600 men are so exhausted that they could not even cross a brook. This left David with only 400 weary men to fight an entire army. But out of nowhere, they come across the servant of one of the invaders that agrees to show David and his men where the Amalekites were camped out. What an opportunity that came out of nowhere. And if you follow the rest of this narrative in the Bible, David and his company defeat the Amalekites and, as God said, recover all. So at the point of hopelessness, the point of no options, the point of despair, when we're trusting the Lord to take care of the situation, not knowing how it can even be turned around, God shows an open door that we could not see. God opens up opportunities or even moves things to clearly reveal either what his will is or the direction he wants us to go. You know, this is something we could not see before. And remember, we're at the dead end. Nothing left. No options. We can't see it. There is no option. We can't see that. We couldn't. And this door comes after the dead end, not before it, after. You have to stop at that dead end. God's power and his work show mightily through us in those times. You get to a dead end, you have nothing else. There is overwhelmingness, there's uncertainty. And when we trust God, we place in his hands, and then God shows something that cannot happen otherwise. How can it be but the power and glory of God shining through that situation? But I just want to say this about that. Just make sure you go through that door. God can set it there for you. Go through that door. So there are times God brings you to the end, to the dead end. What do you do at the end? We have a choice at that point. We can blame God that our state is miserable and he has not come through for us the way we wanted him to. Or you can look back on where God has brought you and place your faith in God's direction. It's never comfortable, but God loves us enough to do that. Let's pray. Thank you, God. We just, for your provision, Lord, how you work in our lives. It isn't comfortable. It isn't fun. But Lord, how you just show yourself mighty through us. We thank you so much. And Lord, we just pray that as we go from here this afternoon, that you just, Lord, work in our hearts and just keep us safe to go from here. And that, Lord, you just, that your work in our lives would be a beautiful thing. In Jesus' name, amen.